Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ascension Magic Radio. My name is Ron Eich, and I'm your host. It's so good to be back here on the air. I think it's been over a year since I've been on the radio. So I'm back. Yay! Clap your hands. Thank you. Today we're going to be talking about water. Did you know that water actually holds intention? Like, you can charge water the same way you can charge a crystal. So we're going to be talking about that. Also other kinds of inspirations that have come through me. A little bit about me. You know, I am an angel intuitive. I do work with the angels a lot. Consider myself to be basically a jack of all trades, master of none, into a lot of different things. And these new series of shows that I'm going to be creating is just me sharing everything that I'm curious about, everything that I'm interested in, to try to give you a sense of wonder and help you learn about different things. So the first thing is this idea of water. And these shows are going to be tying together the theme that everything is connected. I'm kind of a nerd at heart. I don't know if any of you watched the show from Nickelodeon, the kids show called Avatar, The Last Airbender. It's a kids show, came out about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. But it's so deep and spiritual. And that theme of everything being connected is in that show. And I was watching the show with my niece the other day, like a week ago. And she started getting into it. And I just am always fascinated how certain shows have themes in there that are almost subconscious, that awaken us, that we don't even realize. And this is a kid's show. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. But speaking of shows as well, are you guys watching the Olympics? Did any of you watch the opening ceremonies? I know coronavirus is happening and it was sort of downplayed, like, oh, there's no spectators in the audience. But when I watched almost the whole entire thing, and towards the end, they did this beautiful rendition of John Lennon, Lennon's song, Imagine. And I had tears in my eyes because, like, that's what I'm about. I'm about, you know, this idea of all of us being one. And I love the Olympics for that because it brings the sense of peace. Like, all of us can get together as a whole entire planet and work towards something great. And that's what I feel when I watch it, when I see it. It just, even though there's competition happening, you know, but it's a healthy competition and it's bringing us together. And I hope that we can do more of that. And we're kind of having to with all this coronavirus things happening around the world. But on a different note, we're really talking today about water. We have four main elements, right? We have air, earth, fire, and water, and they all have different characteristics. Water is considered to be the most receptive of those four elements. When we think of water, water takes the shape of whatever container you put it in, right? Whether it's shaped like a vase, or it could be a cube, or, you know, a triangle, it just morphs, fills the shape of that perfectly. And we also can think of water as being, when you think about it from a spiritual perspective, water has this idea of flowing, right? How can we flow with things? Because water just is always moving, always changing shape, moving from solid shape to liquid to gas. And in fact, you might remember from your chemistry or your science classes that it's, I don't know if it's the only element, but it's one of the only elements that can do that, that can change to all three of those forms. And and that's what makes it essential for life, because it has such amazing characteristics. You've probably heard of the idea, and you probably already know, that we are a water planet. You know, a huge percentage of our Earth, I don't know what percentage it is, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's largely water. And scientists are baffled, like, you know, where did this water come from? If you look at our whole solar system, you know, the major planets in our solar system, none of them really have that same characteristic. There's gaseous planets and there's, you know, rocky planets, but we are just this huge sphere of water, essentially. And the question is, well, where did that all come from? Was it a comet that crashed into the Earth and disintegrated and just, you know, put all its water on the Earth? I mean, I think that, in fact, that theory has been debunked by scientists. I think the latest theory, from what I've been reading about, is that it's our planet was formed that way from the beginning. You know, when you think about water, scientifically, H2O, right? Two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen. And hydrogen being the most abundant element in the entire universe, it kind of makes sense that, you know, you combine it with oxygen that you can make all this water. I just think it's really interesting that our Earth is so filled with that water. And also when you look at our physical bodies, our bodies are sort of the same. It would be interesting, wouldn't it, to find out the percentage of water on the, in fact, let's Google. Okay, what percentage, here, I'm gonna look this up for you. What percentage of the Earth is water? Okay, why not use the internet? 71% of the Earth is water. Okay, what percentage of our bodies are water? I think that would be kind of cool to see the difference or compare them. What percentage of, oh, come on, Google, work for me. What percentage of our bodies is water? 60%. Okay, well, so I thought it would be interesting to see if they were similar, because we are a huge part of the planet that we're on. But specific muscles and organs can actually have a higher water content. The brain and the heart have 73% water. The lungs are 80% water. And the kidneys are about 80% water as well. So water everywhere. Water is everywhere. It's one of the main things that ties everything together. So it's interesting. And, you know, when you ever think about this as well, you know, when if you go into a lot of religious facilities like a church, holy water, right? Like, why is water there to be blessed? Where did that come from? Like, all these questions about water, like, you know, start getting me thinking, like, I need to talk about water. And water's in the news right now everywhere because, you know, you hear in California, I live in California, and there's talks about drought. And then in other places of the world, in Germany, you know, they had a huge flood that killed people. You know, so water is in our consciousness. It's a part of who we are. I don't want you to stress about water. I'm going to share with you some insights I received from the angels about what we can do to sort of mitigate some of these changes that are happening and not to be fearful of lack and limitation in our lives. So that's coming later. I did ask about that in my meditations. I'm going to share that with you. But I'm excited. I'm excited to be back, to be sharing all these things with you. And I hope you can feel my enthusiasm because I am ready to just spew it out. That sounds weird, but, you know, share myself with you. And here I am. But, you know, let's get back to this idea of water being everywhere. And I want to talk about a scientist, which you may have heard of, called Dr. Masaru Emoto. Now, I first heard about him through this movie that came out about, I don't know, 15 years ago called What the Bleep Do We Know? Some of you might remember that movie. He was kind of a big, huge part of that movie. But isn't this fascinating that he is Japanese? And where are our Olympics happening right now? Tokyo, Japan. So there again is this idea of everything is connected. I didn't even realize this until today. I was like, oh my gosh, he's from Japan. Now, he passed away in 2014, but his work is still in our consciousness, and scientists are still you know, trying to replicate his experiments. And of course, there's a lot of, you know, people out there that try to downplay his work and say, oh, it's pseudoscience. So what we're going to do, I'm going to ask you, my audience, to replicate some of these experiments. And then we're going to see, and we're going to, on the next show, I'm going to share, we'll share like what we all came up with. What did you get in your experiment? So we'll talk about that in just a minute. So who was this guy and what did he do? Now, he was interested in like the molecular structure of water, like how water forms molecularly, but also like this, you know, thinking about, like I said, when you go into a church, you know, and the priest does holy water, for example, like what is he doing to that water? Does it change the water somehow? Is it really holy water? Is there something really to this? You think about, you know, baptisms happen in water. And so there's this thing, this idea of water being in our consciousness for generations. But now it's starting to be discovered, I won't say discovered, but analyzed more scientifically. So what did he do? Well, he had this idea, okay, well, I'm going to, first he put labels on bottles of water that had different words like love, peace, but also something like you disgust me, evil, like different kinds of energies, different kinds of words. He played music to the water. He had monks meditate on water. And he had, you know, he wanted to look at how would that affect the water before and after. So first he would have a picture of the water before anything was affected, like how the water looked originally. And he would freeze it to some degree, I don't know the exact science behind it, but he had this dark field microscope that can look at the crystal structure of the water. So almost like you're looking at snowflakes, like a frozen crystal of the water. And what's interesting and what was fascinating to many of us that first heard about this work is that the ones that had messages like love and peace were these beautiful, like intricate, just beautiful formations. And the ones that had more, I'm going to say more negative connotations, although we know, you know, it's relative, but what we would think of as being negative, like, you know, you disgust me, it's fairly negative, would have this distorted look to it. And it would look dark and black. And you can look up his images. You can even, you know, there's books out there. He published his work. But I remember this from that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? And there's one particular scene in there that strikes me still to this day. There's a man that comes up and he says, if thoughts can do this to water, imagine what our thoughts can do to us. And you think of the fact, like I said, that our body, 60 to 70% water, what are these thoughts or these images, these frequencies, I guess. I'm going to call it a frequency because it could be a thought, it can be spoken, it can be written, a frequency that we're putting out there. Now take that to the next level and think about our planet. Like I said, our planet being mostly water. What are we doing to our planet? Are we literally like, are we encoding our intentions into the planet itself, just like we would be doing to our physical body? It's fascinating when you think about that, and it brings up this notion of being responsible for our thoughts, being aware, metacognition, aware of what you're thinking. That's really what it is. We're not always aware of what we're thinking. We have a lot of subconscious beliefs that were put into us from childhood or from media or from, you know, our ancestry. But right now is the only moment. Einstein has proven time is an illusion. Past, present, future, it's all happening right now. So in this moment, right now, we are perfect. We are whole. We are healed. That's how you have to heal yourself. That's how we get through these times that we're in, is by realizing, hold on, it's not 2020. It's not 1976. It's not, you know, it's not 2025. It is 2021 right now, today, July 25th. That is where we're at in this moment. what can we do at this moment, right? Like what, and that's just to think about your health, your physical health. You think, oh, well, you know, I have this issue that's been with me for so many years, but you can still, you can heal it. You can change it just by believing it. And I'm not downplaying any kind of condition anyone might be going through, but you can change the way that it's affecting you by how you think about it. And that's really what a lot of this work from Dr. Masaru Emoto was about. And it's a shame that he passed away. But what I would like for us to do is to do an experiment. And I would love for you to do this experiment and then share on my Facebook page your results. So if you're down, I'm going to do this. And I know that a lot of people do it with different kinds of things, but we're going to do it with rice because rice is fairly inexpensive. Call it the rice experiment. You can find other videos on YouTube. I always wonder, like, are they editing the video? And I've never done these experiments myself, but it'd be interesting to have me and a few of you or whoever wants to participate. Let's do it. So here's what we're going to do. Okay. We're going to cook, like, you know, maybe 3 cups of rice something that we can separate into 3 groups. So if you make 3 cups, you can separate it into 3 groups or however many different groups you want to make. As long as we think about how we can make this, similar, the conditions need to be similar. Okay. So one of the groups needs to just be like a control group where you just have rice that you cook and you just put it in some container. Another container, you will label that container with something like a positive intention, like, some kind of positive word like love or happiness or something. And you could even just put your energy into it, like all those positive things. Another container with this rice, you can label it with something more negative, whatever you want to label it as, you decide. And you could even put that intention into it. And then you can let it sit out and see what happens, or you can repeatedly put your intention into that rice with that phrase or that word. And then after about a week, you know, we'll see what happens to this rice. Like we'll see, we'll check in and we'll see what you guys are coming up with. And then maybe we can go out 2 weeks and 3 weeks and see, well, what's happening to this rice? Like, is there the one that has love? Like, is that decaying less than the others? That's what they say happens. I want to see this for myself. I hope that you'd be curious enough to see if that's true as well. And I would think it would be fun to see like what you come up with. And, you can share with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/ascensionmagic, or you can email it to me. You can find my email through the blog talk page or through my website, ascensionmagic.com. But I am so excited to see what you come up with. So let's do it. Let's do it. Yay. Oh, okay, cool. So that's the rice experiment. You can look it up. You can look that up on YouTube. A lot of people do that. But I hope that you're starting to see that water has more to it than we realize. One of the things that I like to do, this is true. Like when I get a glass of water, I put my hands on the water and I literally put my intention into the water and I say, okay, water, I'm charging you with the highest healing light. When I drink you, I am drinking perfect health, clarity, and peace. And I do that. I feel like I'm taking that in because you could question, is it just my belief that's doing that? Is it a pseudo kind of, what do you want to call that? Where your mind creates something, I can't think of it, like a sugar pill type of thing. You know what I'm talking about. I can't think of the word at the top of my head. But I believe that I am literally charging the water with that energy and I am drinking that energy. So you can do that. You can do that. And you'll see that it makes a difference. I do that with my food as well. Before I eat, I just sort of put my hands over it. And I imagine that healing energy is flowing into my food. And I'll eat the food and feel that sort of digesting into my body and feeling the good health and energy from that. That's especially helpful if you find that you're eating something that's what we would consider not the healthiest of food. You know, you go out and you get a pizza and you're like, oh, I don't know if I really want this junky pizza. But, you know, putting some healthy energy into it can make you feel a little bit better about eating it, especially if you're somebody that normally likes to eat healthier foods. You know, no judgment. You know, I eat pizza. Everybody eats junky stuff on occasion. It's just, you know, being aware of what you're putting into your body is important. And being aware of the fact, like I said, that you have this huge amount of water flowing through you. Flowing. Oh. All right. Have you ever thought about this? You know how they say water conducts electricity? Have you thought about that? I've been thinking about that. And I'm like, what is that about? Water conducts electricity. Pure water itself does not conduct electricity. It's the ions in the water that are created when there's something like that's dissolved in the water. Water is an amazing solvent. It's crucial for life. And you think about the major chemical reactions that happen in our cells and in our body, water is needed for that. So, you know, if you have some salts that are dissolved in water, it creates these ions. And the more ions that are there in the water, the more electrically charged the water can be. So, but pure distilled water doesn't really hold much of an electric charge. It's what is in the water itself. So that's really interesting to think about. So try to think about that. You know, like if when you have you ever taken a salt bath or put like Epsom salt? I do this all the time. I put Epsom salt in the bath. And then, like I say, I put my hands over the water and I charge the water with my intention. I'm literally like, I'm imagining the water. Like I'm a priest that's charging holy water, basically. That's like, why does a priest have to be the only one that can do that? Anyone can do that. It's like you're making your bathtub holy water in a sense. You could think of it that way. But have you ever thought about the fact that when the Epsom salt's in there, the salts, you're creating ions, more of an electric charge. So perhaps like you're making the water more full of your intention because there's more activity happening. Ha ha. If you think about that, try it next time. If you don't take salt baths, try taking salt baths, charging the water, and just sit in the bathtub for like 20, 30 minutes. You will feel amazing. It'll really ground you. It'll really clear you and clear. It's like, if you imagine you have like ooky sort of things around you, it just clears that all away. Water is the cleansing agent, right? We think about water as being the cleansing agent. So when it rains, right? Water cleansing. You could do that in the bathtub. So these are some of the things that I have been thinking of about water. Now, like I said at the beginning of the show, I know that especially in California and the West, there's big talk about drought and water and how can we save these precious resources. So I actually sat down. I was outside in nature in front of a little creek. I wanted to be in front of water. And I asked, what messages can I have? What messages can I share with my audience about this? Like, what do we need to know? And I'll share with you what I came up with, what came through me. Okay. What I felt first was this idea that lack and limitation are thoughts in our mind. Like, lack is not the truth. We are abundant, right? We see the water that's diminishing, and then we start to think like that is our reality. And then we put our intention out, we start to create that, and more of us start thinking it. It creates this mass consciousness, and that is what we're experiencing. So what I actually wrote down was the words I heard in my mind were, visualize the reservoirs being full. It only appears in our minds that there is lack and limitation, okay? Visualize equal and fair distribution of water to everyone. Visualize, not how, but just visualize it to everyone on the planet, everywhere. Visualize this, allocating all resources to everyone equally and fairly. Relying on mountain water has been good, but we may need to think about some other ways. You know, in California, we have the Sierra Nevada, the snow melts, we have the snow that goes into the reservoir, and that's worked for us. But part of evolving as a culture, as a species, is trying to create new ways of energy, new ways of conservation, new ways of finding water, right? And we may have to think about possibly desalination of salt water. I mean, there must be a way to do that. We have a huge ocean on the Pacific coast. I mean, I'm just wonder why this isn't being pursued. You know, like maybe it is, but it's like we're so reliant on what's always been there. And now we have the nudge, like, hey, we got to think about something else. Like, oh no, we don't really need to. Like, we kind of need to a little bit, I think. Just to think outside the box a little bit, you know, like that's kind of what I'm feeling. We might also think about pulling water out of the sky somehow. Clouds are full of water. Water vapor in the sky. Like, how can we, like, you know how they talk about free energy? There must be water there in the sky that we can find a way to pull it out of the atmosphere and not harm us. I don't know. This is just thoughts that came through my mind. And also, what about creating it in a laboratory? I mean, we can create all these toxic chemicals that like kill weeds and do all these things, but we can't find a way to combine hydrogen and oxygen together to make water. I don't know. It just seems like we should be able to do that. And again, this is just me sharing, thinking outside the box. I don't have the answer. I don't know. I am just sharing with you what I've been feeling. I also feel, and you probably have heard this before, a lot of you are probably, you know, more spiritual minded, that our thoughts not only create our reality, but create the weather itself. Could that be because of the fact that our planet is a water planet, like I talked about earlier? And our thoughts are encoding into the physical water structure of the world, whatever we're thinking about, whether that's, you know, it could be negative things, destructive things, it could be positive things, who knows? But there's like a mass consciousness. The more of us that believe something, the more of us that think something, it creates a mass consciousness energy. And that can create a weather event. I've heard this before. So just something to think about. Are we creating, now I know we have, you know, science has proven that we have climate change, but are we contributing to that by what we are thinking about, by what the energy that we're putting out there? Could that be another attribute to that besides, you know, the carbon and all that, you know, the scientific stuff, but more of a metaphysical, can we find a way to sort of mitigate that with us? There's always a lot of spiritual teachers that say, for every problem, there's a spiritual solution. That was, I think, Wayne Dyer wrote a book about that. So just something to think about. One of the things too to think about is to start doing is blessing water everywhere, not just when you drink it, like I talked about, but everywhere. If you're walking by a pond or something, or if you're near the beach, or just even in meditation, you don't have to actually be by the water. Just start seeing the water healed, start seeing the water clear, and start seeing that being distributed equally. All the things that we want to happen, we have to think about. It starts with the thought. Everything that's been created started with somebody thinking about it, right? Starts with the thought, and then you take action, and then it's physically created. So what do we wish to see happen with that water? So that is some of the things that I've been thinking about when it comes to water. It's not as long of a discussion as I would have liked. but I, like I said, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be back on the air. I have this idea of everything is connected, right? And some of the things I want to share with you in future shows, and in the next show, I'm going to talk about numbers, because I'm a math teacher. You know that? Yeah, I am. And how are numbers connected to everything? Like, did you know that there were ancient civilizations that worshipped numbers? Like, literally worshipped them and thought there were some magical, mystical properties. But also some things that you typically think about, chakras and crystals and dragons and singing and music and UFOs and all these things that I'm just interested in, that I just want to nerd out and geek out and share with you guys. And I also want to get back into doing some tarot card readings with you guys, because I haven't done that in a while as well. There's some things in my mind that's being created. I also have the idea of creating a series about changing our paradigm, so to speak, like creating a new cultural paradigm. Like, what kinds of things should we be thinking about to create the kind of world that we want to live in? So I have all these different ideas I want to share. So I hope that you definitely enjoyed my show for today. I know it was kind of a short one, but I hope that you will do the experiment, the Rice experiment. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start it today. And I will share my photos on Facebook. You can share yours as well. And then the next week, I'll start off by sharing what some of you had found. And that, I think that would be kind of a fun way to start the week. So thank you very much for listening today. If you liked my show, please follow me on Blog Talk, or you can find me on Facebook or my website, ascensionmagic.com. And until next time, guys, remember, everything is love.